All right. Last week, I brought you a message of hope. Job asked the question, if a man dies, will he live again? And we found out that what? Yes. Where is our hope? Our hope is in that fact that we have eternal life to look forward to. Aren't you glad this life is not all there is? I mean, let's just be honest. If this life was all that we had, what's the point? Right? I mean, think about it. We've all been through things. We've all been through struggles. But I can tell you, if this life was all there was, let's just go eat, drink, and be merry and go crazy and not worry about it. Amen? But praise God, there is something greater waiting for us. And we need to put our hope in what we know is coming. We have eternal life to look forward to. But what about right now? Can we get through this life? Can we get through the struggles that we're facing? And if we'll go ahead and go to the next slide, to start the sermon slides, let's do that right now. I want to ask you a question, and you don't have to answer me out loud, but I want you to think about it for just a moment. Can you and I get through the craziness that we're encountering right now? Can we survive this? Can we get through it? Here's a better question. Not only can we survive it, can we thrive in what's going on right now? You see, there's a difference between surviving and thriving. The answer to that question is the title of this morning's sermon, We Can Because of Jesus. And Job, he may not have had a knowledge of Jesus Christ like we have now, but I believe that those in Job's day, they knew there was something beyond what they were living. They knew that God had promised, even when Adam and Eve had to be thrown out of the garden at that time, God had promised and said, I'm going to send someone eventually that will take care of this problem and straighten out this mess. How many of you know we need somebody to straighten us out once in a while? Now see, some of you thought I was going to say to straighten out this mess. I said straighten us out. How many of you needed straightening out this week? At least once. Yeah, right? Can I just... Herman, would you pray over the message this morning? There is just something trying to block my mind from concentrating and focusing where I need to be. Amen. We have been looking into the book of Job, and the series is Job, A Life of Hope. And I'm just going to be honest with you. When you read through the book of Job, it's really easy to get bogged down because there's not a lot of positive in most of the book. How many of you have read through the book of Job at least once? Boy, isn't that some heavy stuff? How many of you have, and remember, you're not on camera, so you can feel free to raise your hands and no one will know you're doing that. How many of you have ever had any friends like Job's friends? You needed them to encourage you and build you up, but they did the opposite. You know, friends like that, you don't need any enemies, right? Well, I will tell you, I've been reading through the entire book of Job, trying to mine out these nuggets of hope. And it's not easy. There's not a lot of them through most of the book. But I came to this one in Job chapter 16, verses 19 through 22, and I'm reading it out of the New Living Translation. Job says, even now, My witness is in heaven. My advocate is there on high. My friends scorn me, but I pour out my tears to God. I need someone to mediate between God and me as a person mediates between friends. For soon I must go down that road from which I will never return. I found this little commentary about this verse. It says, in faith, Job looks up to heaven for a witness. Though he may have felt that he would not live to see himself justified before his peers or his friends, his hope was that he had a friend in heaven who would support him. He longed for his day in a heavenly court where he was confident that he would receive full justice. The desire for a mediator to speak to God in our defense became a reality in Jesus Christ, through whom God reconciled us to himself. We now have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Job says, look, my friends are not helping me. The ones who should be encouraging me, the ones who should be defending me are not doing so, but I know there is a witness for me in heaven. There is an advocate in heaven. I want to give you a definition of advocate. Let's put that on the screen. An advocate is one who pleads the cause of another specifically. It is one who pleads the cause of another before a judicial court. It is one who defends or maintains a cause or a proposal. It is one who supports or promotes the interest of a cause or a group. An advocate, in simple terms, is someone who sticks up for you. Now, I have personally only been to court and part of a trial once in my life. And I only vaguely remember it. It was very short, my part. The story is, I was sitting at my grandparents' house in Berlin, and suddenly this couple ran up the side of the house across their front yard, followed by a police officer who tackled them and arrested them. Weeks, months later, we get a subpoena. I get called to court as a witness because they claimed that the officer had been abusive. I was put on the witness stand, asked to share my side, my testimony. And I'll be honest, my whole testimony was, I thought the officer showed great restraint because the woman kicked him. You can take it and fill in from there, okay? I've never been a defendant in a court case, and I'm not going to ask any of you to raise your hands if you have been, okay? But if you were, I'm sure you were glad that you had a defense attorney, an advocate that stood up for you, that pleaded your cause, and that knew what the law was. Am I right? Isn't that something we'd all want? How many of you are old enough to remember Raymond Burr as Perry Mason? Let me see your hands. All right, I will tell you, when I was younger, I didn't like the show. Oh, I didn't like it. I wanted adventure. I wanted Dragnet and Adam 12 and Barnaby Jones and, the police shows where they'd pull out their guns and shoot at the bad guy and tackle him. Well, now, as I've gotten older, now Perry Mason is on 5 nights a week at least. Well, actually, I can get it 7 days a week between 2 or 3 of the channels that show old stuff. And here's, for those of you that are youngsters, this is the main plot of every Perry Mason show. There is conflict in a family or a business. They go to Perry Mason. He's in the middle of helping them. Somebody gets killed. And the most obvious, suspect is the one that Perry decides to defend, because he believes them when they say, I didn't do it, and it's never that person. If Perry Mason's your lawyer, you're never going to lose the case. And in a dramatic fashion, he exposes the real murderer, either in the trial or at the scene of the crime when they go back there or something. That's the main plot all the time. But there is one thing that I always find interesting in the story, that sometimes this suspect will not tell Perry Mason the whole truth about what happened, and something happens in court. It comes out that they did something they haven't told him about. So he goes into conference with his client and he says, why didn't you tell me about this? I will defend you, but you've got to be truthful with me. Friends, let me just tell you this morning before we go any further. If you want Jesus Christ to be your advocate, you have got to be obedient to him and you've got to be truthful with him. Amen? So let's see what it means and the hope that we can have in having this advocate. We find out Job says, you know, I've got to have an advocate in heaven. There's got to be somebody that's going to be the go-between that's going to defend my cause before God the Father. Now, I don't know that he quite at that point in history understood the concept of God the Son. I don't know what his knowledge was of it. But us living on this side of the cross, here's what we know. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It's on the screen. My dear children, John says, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. That's an advocate. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Here's the thing. We have a defense attorney who goes before God the Father, and the only defense that he presents in our case is he looks at the Father and he says, Father, here's the nail prints in my hand, the nail prints in my feet, the scars from the crown of thorns, here's where the spear pierced my side. And yes, this one has done wrong, but Father, they have asked for forgiveness, they have repented, and they are asking, not on the basis of anything of their worth, but Father, they're one of mine. And therefore, the defense is that I ask you to forgive them because of what I've done for them. Church, that ought to get you excited. Because the reality of it is, we could never defend ourselves before God, no matter how sorry we are for what we've done. But aren't you glad to know you've got a better defense attorney than even Perry Mason? Because Jesus Christ, not only has he never lost a case, but he doesn't base his defense on anything about you except this, that you have accepted him as Lord and Savior. How many of you know that none of us will ever get to the point that we never, ever sin in this life? You realize that? Now, it should not be a habit. It should not be a lifestyle. Don't take advantage of it. But how many of you know occasionally we're going to do or say or think something we shouldn't do, say, or think? And aren't you glad to know when that happens? We have a defense attorney that when we say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Forgive me. He turns to the Father. He says, Father, grant them forgiveness, they're one of mine. Job was in a situation where he says, look, everything around me, I've lost everything. I've lost my wealth, I've lost my home, I've lost my children, I've lost my health, I've lost my self-respect, I've lost the respect of everyone around me. Even my best friends ridicule me and scorn me, and I cry tears of sorrow continuously. But I believe in heaven I've got a witness and an advocate who stands before me. You say, well, that sounds really good, Pastor. We have an advocate if we sin. But what about those times we need an advocate for something other than sinning? Well, go with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And I'd ask you to look that one up because there's only a portion of the scripture on the screen. Paul says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? A little girl heard this scripture in church one day. And her interpretation of it was a little different, but I like it. Her mama said to her, honey, what did you learn in church today? She says, well, we learned that Paul says if God is for us, the devil is up against it. Did you catch that? Listen, folks. I'm going to be real blunt. And I know there's times that there are certain ones that don't like it when I get real blunt. And I don't apologize for that. I get real blunt because I love you. And I'm talking to myself as well, okay? If we really believe that God is for us, so who can be against us, then I think it's time as followers of Christ and as the church, we start doing a whole lot more praying and praising and a whole lot less complaining about what's going on around us and what certain officials are doing and saying. And I'm talking to myself as well, because I can tell you this last week, I was on the phone with conversation with my brother, and some of this nonsense that we're dealing with came up. And I will tell you right now, it's a good thing it was my brother on the phone. He's one of about three people in my life outside my wife that I can talk like this and be this blunt and just spew forth my disgust with stuff and it be okay. But I'm so sick of this. I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of being told what to do. I'm sick of people trying to tell me that I'm wrong because I don't wear a mask, or telling me I'm wrong because I do wear a mask. I'm tired of people telling me I'm guilty because of my skin color. You know, I was born this way. I can't help it. At the same time, I don't blame you for being born with the skin color and the ethnicity you have. I'm so glad God's a God of variety. And it's so easy to get caught. Folks, listen to me. Don't get caught up in the rhetoric. Stop listening to the news. Most of the news is lying to you. You want news that you can depend on? Pull out the good news of the Word of God. I'll tell you how silly and crazy it is out there. You can turn on one network and they're going to tell you something about the day's events. And you can go to another network, and they're going to tell you about the same events, but it'll be absolutely the opposite of what that one told you. And you go to a third one, and they've got a third take on it. Let me tell you something. The news that we're being fed is full of lies, and you need to stop letting it get you down. We need to rest upon the news that Jesus Christ is still alive and well. We have an advocate in heaven. If God is for us, who can be against us? God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Look, folks, if he's already given us the best he had, why would he hold back anything else? Amen? I mean, if I owned a solid gold Cadillac, which I don't, but if I did, and Maddie, I let you drive my gold Cadillac, why would I then not let you drive my GMC pickup? Does that make sense? If God's already given us the best he has, why do we think he's going to hold back anything else from us? Verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ Jesus who died. More than that, he was raised to life. Listen to this. You'll see this on the screen. This is in bold. It's underlined. Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. What does it mean to intercede for somebody? Let me have a couple of volunteers up here. Quickly. Two volunteers up here. Quickly. One here, quickly. Another volunteer, quickly. All right, here we go. All right. These two are going to be co-workers soon. Yes. Here comes another volunteer. These two are going to be co-workers soon, and this better not happen. But let's just say that these two get crossways on the job. And all of a sudden, they show up to church one Sunday morning, and they're still snipping at each other. I tell you what, there's going to be some interceding. Stop. Let me hear your side.
And you heard your side first?
Let me hear. No, no, because I've been hearing your side. I've been hearing your side all week. Let me hear your side. Thank you. We'll just put that up there. Now let me hear your side. Now to intercede means I don't take sides. I look at them and I say, all right, here's how it is. You're wrong in this and this and this. And you're wrong in this and this and this. But you're right here and you're right here. Now let's knock it off. Let's come to a compromise. Let's come to a meeting of the minds. Now, that's an example, but here's the only problem with that illustration. Jesus Christ is interceding for us, not with another person. He's interceding with us, with God the Father. So what he does is he comes to us and he says, this is where you're wrong. You need to repent and you need to change and you need to stop doing this and start doing that. Then he turns to the Heavenly Father and he says, Father, forgive them because they're one of mine. We're on camera. No social distancing. Go, Grandma. Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. You know, there's something else that tells me that I hadn't even thought of. Listen to me. Yes, the little kid's cute, but don't let him distract you from hearing what God's Word says this morning. I don't mind the kiddos running around a little bit, but don't let yourself be distracted. If you really believe that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf, start living and acting and talking like it, and stop spewing the negativity of the world around us. And in case you're wondering, I'm hurting my own toes this morning, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. When I went to Amarillo 3 times this last week, and it was so great to go and sit down in a and hear people enjoying themselves. But then, like the day after my 3rd trip, it came out that they were going back to 50% capacity in the restaurants. And I'll tell you the truth, I got angry. How dare the Texas governor do that to me? Now, I hope you find some humor in that and you can kind of laugh. But that was my thought process. Doug, how dare he do that to me? I can't even go over to Amarillo now and enjoy it as much because I know they put restrictions back in place. But Joanne, you know what? He didn't do it to me. You see, the problem with some of us right now is we've been taking all of this way too personal. We need to stop and remember, we have an advocate, someone who's at the right hand of the Father, interceding in our behalf. And even when things get difficult, he is there taking up our cause. Standing up for us. He's there on our behalf. But that's not all. Listen to this. Verse 35 of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or stay-at-home orders, or 50% capacity at the restaurant, or the shooting range being closed, or Clayton Lake not being open. Are you catching my drift this morning, folks? Shall any of this separate us from the most important thing, the love of God? Shall having to do our teaching online, whether it's the church or the schools? Shall facing a difficult school year coming up? Shall having to have a COVID test on our job? Shall having to preach to a camera and not your wonderful smiling faces, which aren't smiling at the moment? I need your smiles. Don't give me them phony smiles. Give me them good smiles. There you go. Drop down to verse 37. Paul says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What is a conqueror? Well, I think of a conqueror as somebody who wins, right? How many of you like being winners? How many of you like to lose games? How many of you like to play Monopoly? How many of you like to lose at Monopoly? How many of you are like my wife? They can get really stubborn about trying to make deals. You see, we still have a problem in Monopoly. My sons are 19 and 21 years old, and when I'm trying to make a deal with them to exchange properties or whatever, Mama still sits there and tries to advise them, and I have to tell Mama sometimes, you need to be quiet. They're old enough to lose to Daddy on their own. Mama tries to be wicked. You see, we like to win. We want to be conquerors in life. But here's the thing. If we'll recognize who our advocate is and we will be obedient to his word, we'll do what he says for us to do. He says, you're not just conquerors. You're more than conquerors. Wow. Let that sink in a moment. If we will be obedient to what Jesus Christ has told us to do in his word, and we talked about it in Sunday school, if we want that solid foundation in life, we will put into practice what his word says to do. He says, if you'll do that, I will intercede on your behalf before the Father, and you will not just be a conqueror, you will be what? More than a conqueror. I like that. Connie? That means I not just get it, not only do I get a gold medal, I get a big gold medal. It means not only do I get a nice trophy, I get a huge trophy. Not only do I get to say I'm on the winning side, I get to hang out with the captain of the winning side. Because he is the one that has made us more than conquerors. Well, because of who our advocate is, we get to reap a couple of benefits. And Job talks about these. Go with me back to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Job says, surely then, and he's speaking to God at the moment. He says, surely then you will count my steps, but not keep track of my sin. My offenses will be sealed up in a bag. You will cover over my sin. You see, Job did not live under the law of Moses. The law of Moses had certain sacrifices in place, but they didn't really forgive the sin. They simply shoved it back another year so that you didn't have to face the penalty of it. But Job says, you know what? By faith, I know I've got someone in heaven who's on my side. He's my witness. He's my advocate. And because he defends me, my sins will be what? Covered over. Forgotten. I could have looked up a lot of different scriptures, several different scriptures, but I didn't do so. That talks about the fact that God forgives us and he casts our sin into a sea of forgetfulness. That he separates us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. And that's in a straight line. Folks, when God forgives us, when our advocate, when Christ intercedes on our behalf and says, Father, forgive them of their sins because they're one of mine. Our sins are not put in a vault to be pulled out later. And remember, they're done away with. Church, that ought to make you shout. If there are sins from your past, and they keep popping up in your memory, can I tell you, it's not God who's reminding you of them. It's either the devil reminding you of it, or it's self. Friends, when God has forgiven you of what you've done in the past, leave it there. Because you have the best defense attorney in the universe and beyond that has gone before the judge, God the Father, and he has put them in the past and forgiven them because of who your advocate is. And Job knew that. I have encountered so many people that have never accomplished anything for the kingdom of God because they won't turn loose of their past sins. Listen to me. I'll repeat that. A lot of people never accomplish much for the kingdom of God because they keep living in the past, letting their sins of the past anchor them down and dictate their current circumstances. Friends, if your advocate is Jesus Christ and he has gone before God the Father and you have been forgiven, move on. As one of our leaders in the Assemblies of God, a great evangelist, a great pastor, great leader once said, by the name of Alton Garrison, some of you need to get a new dog and his name is Fido. Forget it and drive on. Because I guarantee you, until you put the sins of the past and you see, once you've asked for forgiveness and God's forgiven you, leave them in the past. Learn the lesson and move on. You have the best defense attorney ever. I have never yet seen an episode of Perry Mason where the person that had been accused of the crime was found to be innocent. I've never once seen one of them say, wait a minute, can we do this all over again? I want a different attorney. I know you found me innocent, I am, but I want to go through the whole guilt process again. They're all so happy that Perry finally got him off and the truth was revealed. Some of you need to understand, the truth has been revealed. You were guilty, but God has forgiven you because of who your advocate is, and you need to start living like it. Yeah. Amen? Here's the second benefit. In Job chapter 17, verse 9, Job says, nevertheless, the righteous will hold to their ways, and those with clean hands will grow stronger. When your advocate is Jesus Christ, God the Father does not look at your record. Listen to me. He takes the blood of your defense attorney that was shed on the cross, and he wipes it across your record, and suddenly it's made clean, and it's replaced by the record or the righteousness of your defense attorney. Now when the Father looks at your record, he sees your record, now he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his Son. And when we begin to recognize the fact that we are the called to live within the righteousness of Jesus Christ, look what Job had figured out. He says, then we will have clean hands and we will grow stronger. That sounds like an amen to me. Friend, listen to me. Right now, in the midst of everything that's happening, this can be the church's finest hour. The church needs to rise up, remember and recognize and acknowledge who our advocate in heaven is, and say, you know what? If he's the one defending me, I can take on anything life throws at me. Not because of who I am, not because of what I've done, but because of who he is and what he's done. You see, I'm seeing negative stuff out there from so many. Oh, the church is doomed. Christianity's on its last leg. No, I'll tell you what, we're going to be more than conquerors. We may have to do it a little different. It may not be as convenient, but as long as he is our advocate and he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, we win. Can we rise and see incredible things happen in the midst of all this nonsense? Yes, we can, because of Jesus. Church, let's rise up and do what we can. Let's stop letting the things of this life drag us down. Yeah, it's not easy. It's not convenient. I'll tell you the truth. Right now, one of the things I'd love to do is I'd love to throw a bunch of clothes in the suitcase. I'd like for my wife and I to get in the vehicle. And I've got a road trip I want my wife and I to go on. But it's not convenient to do so right now. And when I start feeling a bit frustrated and discouraged and disgusted and almost to the point of being angry, I need to be reminded, wait a minute. Compared to eternity, this is nothing. It's a mild inconvenience when I look at it from an eternal perspective. And I don't need to get so down thinking that these politicians and these in the media, I need to stop thinking that they're in charge, because they're not, because he's still in charge and he's still my advocate. Amen? I had somebody ask me just very recently, don't you think that this is leading up to these things? And they start listing all the gloom and doom. You know what? I don't know if this is going to lead us directly to the one world government. I don't know if this is leading us to one world currency. I don't know if the rapture is about to take place soon. All I do know is that he's still in control and we still have a job to do, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of Christ. And the reason we can do it in the midst of all this craziness is why? Because he's our advocate in heaven. Stand with me. I want to ask you to do something this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a very simple prayer of dismissal from this service. And as I pray that very simple prayer, I want you to talk honestly with your Heavenly Father. And if you need to ask him to forgive you for being negative, do so. If you need to ask him to forgive you for being angry, do so. If you need to ask him for strength and stamina to withstand what we're going through, do so. If you just need to thank Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for being your advocate, do so. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these nuggets of hope that we find even in a book like the book of Job, where there is so much heavy stuff to deal with. And Father, just as I've asked this church family to do, Lord, this pastor does it this morning, God, forgive me for being down, for being negative, for being angry. I thank you, Lord, that you, Jesus Christ, are my Lord and my Savior and my advocate in heaven. That you're there interceding on my behalf in all things. Lord God, may I keep that thought uppermost in my mind so that when I leave this place today, I will be a positive influence to those around me so that they will see you and me and recognize that there is a way to overcome all of this that's happening, because all of this is temporary, but my relationship with you is eternal. God, give us an eternal perspective. We ask it in your name. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. Those of you watching online, we're glad you joined us. Continue to do so. If you'd like to donate, go to the website and follow directions. God bless you.